Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. When the howling storms of doubt or fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. On the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing for the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Living in the moment, in the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all and all, standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Hallelujah. Take your Bible now and turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Wonderful chapter and a wonderful verses in this great book. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 21. I'm going to preach this morning a special sermon for all of our new people. All of our new people. And I don't want one of them to miss, because I am responsible to teach you the way of the Lord. And I must not ever compromise in bringing to you the truth. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me yesterday morning while we was having great prayer time. Great prayer time. And laid this message on my heart. And the name of it is Holiness and the Rapture. Holiness and the Rapture. Can you put those two together? Holiness, the rapture. Holiness is a word that's been discounted gravely in this generation. I remember when it was a word that everybody loved. I don't forget a home I was in some years ago, been quite a while now. This young man, they told me, had gotten saved. And I went to visit him. And I visited him once, and then I went back again, and he was grateful, and we were having a wonderful time talking and helping him get started with the Christian life. And I remember vividly saying to him, you know, your old grandmother, well, it was great-great-grandmother and great-grandmother, or great-great-grandmother, great-grandmother, and grandmother. Three tiers, three generations before him. I said, they were some of those great holiness people. And when I said that word holiness, he come up out of his seat. He said, I knew you wouldn't be able to visit me long until you'd bring up that word. And boy, did he let me have it. I had no choice but just simply to get up and leave and didn't go back because I saw no reason, had no leadership to go back. He had just literally gone out of his mind by me using the word holiness. I didn't say nothing about what holiness people don't do or what they do. I didn't say a word about that. I just used the term very innocently. But, oh, I love that word, holiness. I love it. It probably gets into my conversation a lot. Well, go with me to the book of Ephesians, and let's read a few verses. And then I will preach to you out of my heart, and I pray that I will be a blessing. I pray that I will be a blessing, that every one of you will get a fresh vision for holiness, real holiness. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's a legalist. I'm not talking about hardness. I'm not talking about jumping down people's throat. I'm not going after people. I'm just talking about a challenge from the Holy Bible. Let me read you. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wow. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That's been one of the themes of my life. Husbands, love your wives even also as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See, the loving business is a giving business. You give yourself for the person whom you love, that he might sanctify. Let me go back and read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now listen, that he might present it to himself, that he might present this church to himself. This is the Lord saying, I gave myself for the church that I might sanctify it, that I might get it ready to present it to myself. I love that. To present it to myself. That it might sanctify it. That it might present. Listen now. That it might present to himself a glorious church. The Lord is coming. The rapture is all about this. And this is all about the rapture. And when the rapture occurs, the Lord Jesus is going to take his church, his bride, and present them to himself. You understand? How many understand what I'm saying? It's very clear. The Lord's coming for the church, and he's going to present it to himself. You got to hear what he says. A wonderful scripture. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Would you say the word holy? I heard one voice. Say the word holy, would you? Holy. That he might present it to himself, a holy church. Now listen, he really gets down tight here. that he might present it to himself a holy church without blemish. Whoa, whoa, that's getting down where the rubber meets the road. No blemishes. You know what a blemish is, don't you? You get a little place on your face where there's a sore or a bump, and it becomes a blemish until you get it well. It is any kind of spot. He'd use the word spot, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, holy, without spot, without blame, and without blemish. Somebody understand, when he comes, he is not coming for a mixed multitude. He isn't coming for a bunch of half-hearted folks who go to church when they feel like going to church. He isn't coming for a group of people who are half-hearted and half-baked and half-prepared. He's coming for a holy church. He's coming for a sanctified church. He's coming for a church without blemish. And that puts me and you on the mark. And it's beautiful. Can you imagine being a saint of God, living a life without blemish and spot? Oh, Brother Chambers, I could never live that way. You sure can, but he sure can. I'll raise your hand with me now and say, Jesus can do it in me. Come on, raise it up high. Jesus can do it in me. Come on, say it big with me, would you? Jesus can do it in me. And that's the whole message. Jesus is presenting to himself. He gave himself to make you a bride. A bride. He's getting you dressed up in a wedding garment. He's putting a white gown on you. He's getting you all cleaned up for a glorious moment when he comes to get you and takes you to himself. You may be seated. I'm preaching this morning on holiness and the rapture. The rapture is so close. Until I stand here and tremble just to think about it. Yesterday morning I cried and sobbed, and I had a great prayer time. I mean, it was rich and wonderful. Again this morning, I love it. I love praying. And oh, how the word holiness has just got a hold of my mind. And Joe Chambers is praying in this altar for a sanctification more rich and more dependable and more mighty than I've ever had. I want to be without blemish. I want to be spotless. I want to go in that rapture. And I want you to go in that rapture. I want you to go in that rapture. Now let me tell you a little story to get my sermon started. I was 39 years of age. My mother died and was buried on January the 21st, 1975. 1975, January the 21st, 2 days after my birthday. For some months, I'd been going home. I was married. Let me see where I was at that time in my life. Well, I was married. Just hadn't been married long. And I'd been dealing with Mother. Mother was a wonderful Baptist woman. I would put nothing against the goodness of my mother. But she'd got involved in the habit of smoking. She was smoking. And I dealt with her. I said, Mama, you need to really get sanctified. You need to get cleaned. And so she went to work on it. I mean, she really went to work on it. And she said, Joe, I got it whipped. I got it whipped. But she didn't quite have it whipped. And so I'm down there visiting with Mom, and I'm standing in the hallway, and there's a door between that and the living room. And Mama came up to the door on the other side and stuck her hand through the door to get the broom, which sat in that corner, and she had a cigarette between her fingers. And my heart just kind of dropped. Oh, she's making so much progress. What in the world happened? So a day or two later, the subject came up, and I said, Mom, you told me you'd quit. Oh, son, I got to quit. I said, but I saw your hand the other day when you stuck it through the door with a cigarette. Oh, she said, you didn't see that. I said, I did. She said, I'm sorry, son. I'll never smoke another. And I found out later, Mama never smoked another. Oh, that's wonderful. See, that was way back in about 54 before Mama and I were married. And now, 75, she dies. And she came to visit the old church where I was preaching on the subject of why we believe in speaking in tongues. And she was there. And oh, she loved it. And she was so hungry. And she was headed toward Pentecost. I had no doubt about it. Oh, Mom had really made a transformation. Well, I went to the General Assembly that year and got a call. Mama was dying with cancer. And so she died sometime later, went on to heaven. I know she had gotten sanctified. And brother, does that thrill my heart? That thrills my heart. Well, to tell the story and get it all out, I'm at the graveyard, and I'm standing down with my sister Peggy at the cemetery. Mama's already been buried. We're standing there just kind of hurting inside. And I said to my sister, I said, Peggy, do you remember that couple in this church many years ago? They were so different from everybody. I would call them holiness people because now I know what holiness is. And back then, they already knew what it was. And I remember them. I remember their face shining. I remember the clean life. I remember the holiness dress. I remember everything about them. She said their name was Clyburns. And they were the light of our church. They were the center of our church life. Everybody looked to them as the saints of God. And I thought, wow, I was just a kid when I knew those people. Maybe 10 years of age, maybe 12. But I could remember them looking like holiness. Looking like purity. And it arrested me that I could remember that. All these years later, over 20 years later, and I thought to myself, is holiness that beautiful? And then I read what the Bible said. The Bible says plainly, that holiness is a beautifying element in the human life. Holiness is something that makes you shine, something that makes you glow. I mean, it's so evident. It shows all over you. The Bible said in Psalms 93:5, holiness becometh the house, O Lord, forever. Can you quote that with me? Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Did you know that? You know, I wept this morning when I quoted that verse. I went and found it. I didn't know where it was. And went and found it. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. And Joseph Gans called me. Joe Gans. I'm sorry, Joseph Yates called me. Brother Yates from Danville. And I told him what I had just gone through. I mean, I was just going through it. He said, Brother Chambers, let me tell you a story just like that. He said, my old dad and I got out in a shopping mall one day, and we were standing outside the car, and I looked over there some distance, and I saw a woman whose face was shining. He said, she looked like an angel. And I said, Daddy, look over there at that woman. I've never seen her before. Her face is shining like an angel. And her dad looked over there and said, she's one of the great saints of God, Joseph. I've known her for many, many years. Did you know that you will shine when you become a holiness Christian? How many of you want to shine? How many of you really want to shine for the Lord? You want people to see you and know that you're not just an ordinary Joe, an ordinary Juanita, an ordinary Jerry, or whatever the name is, but that you are a person that becometh the holiness of God. You know what the word beholdeth? You know what that word, it's a powerful word, holiness becometh. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, that dress sure becomes you? That was an old saying. I haven't heard it in many years. And my wife, if she'd ever put on anything red, I'd go crazy. Honey, you're just so pretty in something red. And she quit buying red. She wouldn't even have a red dress. She refused to buy them. I remember just two or three years ago, I found her one. I said, I'm going to buy it for you. She said, I ain't going to wear it. If you buy it, you're wasting your money. And she meant it. And I didn't buy it. I'm not henpecked. Not much. But I'm telling you, holiness becometh the house, O Lord, forever. I got to get you saying that with me. That's got to be the best word of my sermon. Holiness becometh the house. You're talking about the church. You're talking about the house of God. There's nothing more beautiful than a godly lady or a godly gentleman. When your face shines with the radiance of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm not preaching holiness to cut you down. I'm preaching holiness to build you up. I'm preaching holiness to make you a person that becometh the house of God forever. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holiness becometh the house of God. And he says forever. Somebody says that's old fashioned. Ain't no such thing. ain't old fashioned. That's just current. Somebody says, you're just an old-fashioned holiness preacher. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a current holiness preacher. I'm not preaching something old-fashioned. I'm preaching something just as current as the sun came up this morning. Amen. It's just as current as the sun came up this morning. Holiness unto the Lord. Oh, it becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Hallelujah. You don't go often anymore and find a church full of holiness people. You may look around and see one over here in that side and over there on that pew. But we want to be a church that becometh thy house a holy and pure forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, try to get to my points. Number one, are you listening? God is a holy God. You got to say that with me. God is a holy God. Would you say it again? God is a holy God. See, you don't preach holiness as a means to cut people down. You don't preach holiness to try to put people in their place. You don't preach holiness to try to get even with some worldly living person. You preach holiness because it's pure, it's beautiful, and it's God-like. It's God-like. Let's make sure we understand that in the Bible, would you? Do you mind turning with me to Psalms 99? Psalms 99? Oh, I love this Bible. It teaches these great truths. The more you read them, the more you love them. The more you love them. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Psalms 99. I'm almost there. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Psalms 99 and verse 5. 99 and verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God. And worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Listen to that. Exalt you, ye, the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. God is a holy God. Did you know that in the Bible it is said that God cannot look upon sin? He cannot look upon nothing that's unclean. Let me take you to Calvary. Let me stand you there beside the cross, somewhere near where Jesus is dying. Watch him as he suffers and bears the pain and the sins of the world. And suddenly he becomes a sacrifice. Suddenly, he is God's atonement for the sin of every man and every woman. And it's no more than said and no more than done until the sun goes out. And God turns his head. Did you know that God turned his head from Jesus when Jesus was dying on the cross? How many of you knew that? Did you really know that? God turned his head. And Jesus, the Father's Son, who's lived in perfect harmony with the Father forever. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All because the Son became sin and God turned his back. God is so holy that he couldn't look at the sin that captured his own son as he hung there on that tree. His son wasn't even guilty of his own sins. He was only guilty of your sins. Brother Derek and Sister Angel and Sister Stephanie and Brother Chambers and Brother Joe, he was guilty of our sins. It was a choice he made. It was a decision that God gave him the privilege of making. And he took our sins upon him. And the Father in his holiness turned his head in another direction. You said, now Brother Chambers, I've only got a few little sins. But they will keep God out of your presence. They will keep you out of the presence of God. When you are playing with anything that is contrary to the Bible, you will find your prayer life is diminished and destroyed. When you're playing with anything that's out of harmony with the Holy Bible, your life's going to get in disarray. And you're going to say, why can't I pray any longer? When everybody's shouting, why is there no shout in me? Because little sins have robbed you of his sweet, holy presence. God cannot look upon sin. you keep sin in your life, and God will have to turn his back. Is that okay? Does everybody understand that? You keep sin in your life, and your Father will have to turn his back. But not only is the Father holy, but the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus, is holy. Can you understand with me this morning that Jesus is a holy Savior? He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible made it plain. Not only was he not guilty of sin, he wasn't even guilty of the sin nature. He wasn't even born with a shackle of sin upon his heart. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he was holy from the moment of his conception. And oh, from all history, really, he is the eternal Holy Son of God. You know what the book of Luke said? This is one of those great passages that I want to read to you. It just helps us grab what we are preaching this morning. Hallelujah. The book of Luke. The book of Luke. I'll find it in a moment here. Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful to study this Bible and see what all the Lord says in chapter 1 and verse 35. In chapter 1 and verse 35, hear what God's book says here this morning. It's beautiful to me. It's beautiful to me. Hallelujah. The angel says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon him, and the power of the highest shall overshadow him. And therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing. Holy from the moment of conception. Holy in the mother's womb. It wasn't but hours later when Mary walked into the presence of her aunt, her cousin, Elizabeth. When Mary walked into the presence, Elizabeth was pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist leaped in her womb. I mean, he jumped up and down. I don't know how you say it, dance the jig. Say it anywhere you want to. But in Elizabeth's womb, when Mary came in, just becoming pregnant with Jesus, that holy thing. And the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. Jesus was holy. How many will say with me, God the Father was holy. And God the Son was holy. God the Father was holy. And God the Son was holy. I like saying that. That sends a thrill all through me. God the Father was holy. And God the Son was holy. And then God the Holy Ghost was holy. If you don't think about it, you just say, well, why was he called holy? Because he was holy. Very simple. The Holy Ghost was holy in all the concepts of his being. He's eternal God, just like the Father and just like the Son. And no such thing as sin ever passed over his mind. He was not even tempted. He was God, the Holy Ghost. And he was holy. Holy, holy, holy. Just say the word Holy Ghost. See how it rings. Holy Ghost. Now try to say the word ghost without holy. Don't come very good, does it? Don't sound right, does it? Holy Ghost. Say it with me, everybody. Holy Ghost. He was holy. He's calling you to be holy. Prepare your question. Raise your hand with me just a moment. Holy Ghost, help us this morning. Father, I can't convict nobody's heart. I can't make nobody hungry for this Holy Ghost and this holy life, but you can. Father, I'm not preaching this because I want anybody to feel like I'm a heart preacher. I want them to know that you're calling them to holiness, and holiness becometh thy house, oh Lord, forever. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of thy glory. And the Bible says that. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, the holy hills of Zion. Have you ever heard that song? The holy hills of Zion. Somebody ought to find that. Oh, it is the holy place. Hallelujah. One preacher said to somebody, is holiness popular where you came from? And he said, no, it's not. but it is where I'm going. I'm going to a place where holiness is the way of life. I'm going to a place where holiness is the lifestyle. I'm going to a place where holiness is love to a passion. I'm going to a place where the angels, they don't say glory, glory, glory like we Pentecostals. They say holy, holy, holy like the angels of God. Hallelujah. That must be something beautiful about that holy, holy, holy. I love the book of John chapter 7. Verses 37, 38, 39 along there. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake Jesus because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because he was not yet crucified. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. And he said that Holy Ghost is like a river of living water. That Holy Ghost is like a river of living water. Praise the name of a mighty God. And then next, before I come back to the church, the Bible is a holy book. I'm going to tell you right now, this book is so holy that the demons cannot stand it. The demons cannot stand this book. If you want to make the devil mad, you just quote the Bible at him. If you want to stop his onslaught, you quote the Bible to him. You tell him what the book says. You tell him what God says. Well, I love how this Bible is so beautiful and so pure. I love the verses in the book of Psalms, division 12. The book of Psalms, division 12. It's a beautiful picture of his wonderful holiness. And it says, the word of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. The word of God is so pure that you could take silver in a furnace, heat it to a boiling point seven times, and just skim off the silver and throw away the gross, or maybe skim off the gross and throw away the silver. That sounds right, don't it? The dross rises to the top. And do that seven times. Take the pure silver seven times and heat it again to a boiling point. Get a little more dross. Get a little more dross. Get a little more dross. Seven times. And the Bible said that's how pure the Bible is. What a holy book. What a holy book. Now, I'm saying all that to you so that you grab the point that very soon he's coming for the bride. I almost hear the trumpet. Ooh, I wish somebody had a trumpet in here. I'd like for them to play that thing and try to give us a little sound of how it's going to be when Jesus comes in the clouds. Some people believe only the righteous will hear that trumpet. I'm here to tell you, in my opinion and by what I read in the Bible, the whole world is going to hear that trumpet. The whole world is going to hear that trumpet. I can almost see an old drunk that had a holy mother, a godly mother, and he's sitting in a bar room somewhere, and all of a sudden that sound rings through the air, and the little glass in front of him where he's been drinking his booze out of shatters from the sound of that blast. I believe that's just how loud that old trumpet will be. I think it will break windows in buildings all over the globe. I think glasses will be shattered in the place of their keeping. I think it'll be so overwhelming that weakened men and women, when they hear that sound, will suddenly tremble and not even be able to stand up on their feet. It will be so awesome and so wonderful and so holy. He's coming, church. That trumpet's going to sound, and he's going to reach down into this old globe of ours, and in the graveyards of the world, the Holy Ghost will make a quick decision. That man, that grave, that woman, that person, that child, that grandmother, that grandfather, and people will begin to rise out of their graveyards all over this world. Woo! And Jesus will catch up the living saints. Hallelujah. Oh, would you raise your hand and worship the soon coming King? Worship the soon coming King. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, talk to us this morning. Get a hold of us, Holy Ghost. Come in for a church without spot, a blemish, or any such thing. Oh, one of my dear families that I love so dearly, and I won't dare give you a name. Been out of church, at least 5 times out of 6 for weeks. Got a text from them, we're not going to be there Sunday. And I sent them a text back and said, I love you all. I love you all. But you need to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's not your day, it's his day. And then I said, it grieves me every time you miss. See, I'm a pastor. That's not a one in this family I don't love with all my heart. When I got the word that Brother Joe had got hurt, I didn't play around. I got out, I was on my bicycle when I really got the word, trying to spend a little time with my dear daughter. And I jumped in my car and we headed to Charlotte, and I got to the hospital immediately, even before, she just got in the room and went with him for x-ray, and I waited on him in the room for the x-ray. I care. I care about every one of you. I care about everybody involved in our family. In fact, there are so many that are not involved that ought to be, and I'm caring about every one of them. I pray for them. How many believe God's going to give Brother Marlon's wife a miracle? Let me see your hand. How many of you believe Tyler Graber is going to get a miracle? Could I tell you what I met at the hospital? I went in the room, and there was Joe Mender. Remember? He came with Tyler Graber to church. Tyler brought him from the college. He came right up here, stood right there, and started screaming. And demons began to manifest. I called some of you guys. I don't remember who all came. We cast the devil out of him. And he's still been saved ever since. He's not going on in holiness. In fact, this is kind of cute. He's a Baptist boy right now. He told him he was looking for a wife, and I can't find one that wears a dress. I thought, you're looking at the wrong place, dude. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? Can you believe he would even say that? I'm Baptist. I'm on a wife, but I can't find one that wears a dress. You say, Brother Chambers, you preach against not wearing dresses? Yeah. I'll tell you what the Bible says. It's an abomination for a woman or a man to wear the clothing similar to the other sex. Women should never dress like men. And men should never dress like women. And you know what has happened to our society? Let's imagine. No, you're not the right one. Now, I don't know nobody to use. Let's just imagine one of our men would come in next Sunday with a dress on. you don't even know what to think, do you? Well, why is it then that we accept women dressing like men, but we don't want our men to dress like women? The Bible that talks about that says both. It includes men and women. Oh, you said, Brother Chambers, now you're preaching holiness. What do you think I'm preaching? I'm not supposed to preach anything but holiness. And you say, my wife's not willing. Just pray. Don't fuss at her. Don't make her uncomfortable. If she comes to this church with her pants on, we're not going to say a word. We're just going to love them. We're just going to care for them. We don't criticize. We don't cut down. We're just not in that. We're not in that market. We're here for people and to love them, whoever they are and however they're living. We're here to show them the way of the Lord. Raise your hand and help me, somebody. We're here to show them the way of the Lord and cut down nobody. Now take that home, and if you want the scripture, I'll be glad to give it to you. The book of Deuteronomy, very plain. The Bible said it's blasphemous for a man or a woman to dress in the attire of the other sex. Blasphemous. That's strong stuff. I think it's one of the it's a really important hallmark of godliness. And the fact that Joe would say that thrills my heart for him. That means God really did save him. And one of these days, he'll go home. I believe it. All right. I preach the word to you from my heart. Holiness and the rapture. I got to go back and read that verse in Ephesians as I close. Please go with me and let's read that verse in Ephesians. I want you to take this home with you. You may want to write it down. You may have somebody that needs to read it with you, or you need to read it for them. Many people don't know this. They don't know this. And we're here to tell them. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Notice, word. I'm preaching the word. Why are you preaching these things? I'm preaching the word. Because that's how he washes you. That's how he cleanses you. By the water and the word. Amen? Somebody raise your hand and say, thank God for a preacher that tells it like it is. Let me see. Raise it way up high. Thank God for a preacher that tells it like it is. You're going to answer to God for it. Why should I wait till you get there and answer to Him when I can tell you on this side of eternity? When I can preach it to you, the washing of the water by the word. Notice that He might present it to Himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, right now, right here at this altar. Right here before God. I'm going to lead the way. Father, I present to you my vessel. Absolutely without spot or blemish or any such thing. And Father, if there are some blemishes somewhere, please don't let me continue with them. But show me. And I will commit myself to everything. Now listen, say it with me. I will commit myself to everything the Bible says. Now raise your hand if you'll do that. I will commit myself to everything the Bible says. I don't want you committing yourself to me. Don't you say I'm not going to do it because my preacher said don't do it. Don't you dare say that. You will harm me. You will break my heart if you say I'm not going to do it because the Bible said not to do it. I want you to say I'm not going to do it because the Bible said not to do it. Is that good enough? Is that okay, Brother Charles? Is that okay, saints of God? Brother Otto, is that okay? You believe this, Joe? Otto? I mean, I don't want you doing it for me. No, sirree. I would have to answer for you if you did it for me. I wouldn't want that on my back. You do it for the Bible. The Bible says, and if the Bible says it, I will live by it. Holy. Stand up with me, please. Oh, Clarissa, I want you to bow your head. Sister Yvette, please, if you'd come to the mic, and Sister Angel Piana, if you please. Oh, thank God for these dear ladies that live a holy life. They both shine like a, they shine, they both shine, they do. And we got many others in here that shine. I really love it, I love it, saints of God. I want us all to shine. God, put a shine on Joe Chambers' face like he's never had. Oh, Romania, raise our hand and let's just worship a moment. Heavenly Father, move over this wonderful congregation. I've given them a word right straight from you, God. Holiness and the rapture. If we go in that rapture, we will go because we are living obedient to the Bible. Because we're living obedient to the Bible. Do you hear me? Because you're living obedient to the Bible. Not because you're doing what I say. No, sir. Obedient to the Bible. Father, I'm hungry for the Bible. I'm hungry for the Bible. Brother Bob, I love you. You showed me the other day that he had quit smoking. And I just rejoiced in it. I really did, Bob. I really did. See, when you make up your mind, you put them things aside. You become holy the Lord's. You become holy God's property. You become holy given to His kingdom and His will. How many have enjoyed this message? I want to see your hand. I want to know whether you really like what I preached or not. Do you like it? Is it okay? Is it okay? The old-fashioned truth. I love it. I love it. I know, you know, of all the scriptures I quoted, there's none I like better than holiness becometh the house, O Lord, forever. Holiness becometh the house, O Lord, forever. Holiness makes the church beautiful. Your life, Sister Stephanie, makes this church shine. And I mean that, little lady. Your life, Brother Charles, makes this church shine. Brother Danny Lawless, your life makes this church shine. Every one of you, dear ladies, Sister Lucille and Sister Ginger, all over the building. Hallelujah. I come here to church to pray yesterday morning. Brother Marlon had something he had to take care of. And I was here at 6, maybe 6:05, 6:04, something like that. And I all of a sudden, here comes two ladies, Sister Doris and Sister Dolores. 6 o'clock or 5 after. Drove already 30 miles to get to church and to pray. Church, your face makes this church shine. Your holiness makes this church shine. Your holiness takes this example and takes it all over the community where you live. Now I want every person who's been saved the last couple of years to come to the altar first. Now I said years, I meant months. Every person, Brother Aaron, every person that's been saved in the last couple of months, Brother Bob, would you come to the altar first and stand, Brother Robert, Brother Steve, hallelujah, anybody that's been saved in recent weeks, I want you here at the altar. Come, Brother Steve, come, Brother Aaron, come, Sister Crystal's not here. Brother Bob, will you come for you and Crystal? Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. Oh, I love these people. They are special to me. They are special to me. Hallelujah. I don't know whether it thrills you or not, but people getting saved thrills me. Hallelujah. Anybody else will come? I'm a young Christian. I want to come and get in the front of the crowd. Come right on. Come right on. Get in front of the crowd. Praise the name of the Lord. What is, look at this. Four men. Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a God we serve. How wonderful is His graces. Oh, thank you, Bob. I knew y'all wouldn't mind. I'm not trying to make an example out of you. I'm trying to share your burden. Now I want the saints of God all behind them. Every saint of God in this building. Every man stand behind another man there, will you? Every one of you men behind another man. Hallelujah. And let's let these men and all of you ladies come now and stand with us. Ladies on either left or right. And we'll pray for you too. Come if you would. Come if you would. Come, Sister Lika. Want you and your little son down here. She's a new lady at our church. Hallelujah. God's a good God, folks. Come, Brother Carlos, would you? I mean, Brother Jose, I'm sorry there. Your wife's coming. Oh, that's okay. Come on, Sister Jose. Well, that's his first name, and I don't remember. I can't say their last name. So you'll bear me. Okay. Come in this place. Somebody behind, sister.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt or fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing for the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on